Please be seated. On behalf of Poynton Methodist Church, I warmly welcome you to this Thanksgiving service for the life of Lorna Samuels. We've just returned from the Crème, where we have committed Lorna to the care of Almighty God. So we come here now determined to make this part of the service a celebration of Lorna's life, and to thank God for all that she has meant to us as a family member or a friend. We want to smile together at our memories, even to laugh, and to learn from her example. She was very much a lady of faith. And so let's begin in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, draw near to us as we draw near to you. Remind us of the happy times that Arnold and Lorna have shared, of all that they have achieved together. Remind us too of Lorna's place in our own lives. Speak to us through the words of scripture and hymns specially chosen for today, so that believing in the gospel and trusting in Christ, we may receive the comfort, peace, and strength you long to give us, and find renewed hope and joy in this life and the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn, all our hymns have been chosen by Arnold. Our opening hymn, the words will come up on the screen or they're in your programs. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. So now Arnold would like to give his tribute to his wife.
Thank you for all coming here today to celebrate Lorna's life and all she meant to us. Earlier on, our family and some close friends were at a short service at Macclesfield Crematorium, where we laid to rest Lorna's mortal remains. But those of us who believe have the conviction that her soul lives on in some mysterious way that we do not understand and can only partly glimpse. Certainly she lives on in our hearts and minds as we continue to love her dearly, and we remember her as a girlfriend, wife, mother, grandmother and great-grandmother and grandmother-in-law and auntie, as a friend, colleague, neighbour and fellow member of six Methodist churches, in the offices she has held, in her friendliness, humour and hospitality, and in the ways she has encouraged, helped, guided and served, and in her steadfast and humble faith. We know from the cards we've received and the messages in them, for which we thank you, that she has touched many lives over the years. Church, family, friends and service were key to all she did. And for all of this, we rejoice and give thanks. We remember and celebrate today as an extended family and a church family everything that she has achieved. And we can smile as we think of her and thank God for her many years with us and for all that is to come.
Thank you. And so a member of the Ladies' Fellowship, Julie Hallworth, is going to read probably the most famous passage of all about love from 1 Corinthians.
Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. I may speak in tongues of men or of angels, but if I am without love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy and know every hidden truth. I may have faith strong enough to move mountains, but if I have no love, I am nothing. I may dole out all I possess, or even give my body to be burned, but if I have no love, I am none the better. Love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, never selfish, not quick to take offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs, does not gloat over other men's sin, but delights in the truth. There is nothing love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, its hope, and its endurance. Love will never come to an end. other prophets, their work will be over. Other tongues of ecstasy, they will cease. Is there knowledge? It will vanish away. For our knowledge and our prophecy alike are partial, and the partial vanishes when wholeness comes. When I was a child, my speech, my outlook, and my thoughts were all childish. When I grew up, I had finished with these childish things. Now, we only see puzzling reflection in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. My knowledge now is partial, then I will be whole, like God's knowledge of me. In a word, there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them all is love. Amen.
Thank you. These three remain forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And our next hymn that Arnold has chosen celebrates that love. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial love to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. As our second reading, Arnold has chosen the Beatitudes. These are going to be read by Anne Hindle, also a member of the Ladies' Fellowship. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Amen. Thank you. I want to ask you a question. What do you think about first impressions? Are they always right? Do they stick? Do they last? I wonder. When I first started working in this church as a lay worker, Arnold and Lorna invited me round to their bungalow. Arnold wanted to show me how he produced the Herald, our church magazine at that time. Lorna, ever the hostess, made me a cup of coffee. We chatted. And then Arnold took me upstairs to his office. I hadn't finished my coffee. I don't like drinking coffee hot. So I picked my cup up and was walking up the stairs with it. Halfway up the stairs, Lorna shouted to me, Oh, Mandy, don't take your coffee up there. You can't go in the office with a drink. Arnold doesn't allow it. Well, that was a good start, wasn't it? Obediently, I gave her my cup. I then stood amazed at the organisation in this office. My goodness. And he showed me just how he produced this magazine. Many people have said this was the best church magazine that's ever been seen. But you know, Lorna had a hand in it too. To my amusement, Arnold told me that Lorna was the proofreader and, according to him, was absolutely delighted when she found a mistake. But Lorna also organised the distribution of this magazine. The magazine was called The Herald. So this group was lovingly called The Herald Angels. They counted them, they sorted them, and then they were passed on to another team of people to be delivered. But Lorna also sent one to students who'd gone to university or college. and to any of the elderly who'd moved away to be nearer their relations. But each one contained a personal letter. And I understand she's famous for her letters. Clearly, there was more to Lorna than I had first imagined or realised. But let's go back to the beginning. Lorna was born in Doncaster in 1933 and had one older sister, Myra. And we're pleased that Myra's family are here with us today. She left school at 15 and went to work in Afflick and Brown's. Those of us who are Mancunians remember Afflick and Brown's. It was just one step down from Kendall Milne. I loved it. As a little girl, it was a big treat to go there. She worked in their shoe department. I often wonder if she actually served me. She might have done. Later, she moved to Clayton to work as an insurance office and then to Courtauld's, working in the winding room. And it was here that she met her future husband. Now, Arnold tells me he had a friend called Brian. And Brian one day said to him, "Arnold, there's a new girl just working in the winding room. Let's go and have a look." And so they did. And the memory of Lorna is still so clear when he described her to me. She had beautiful ginger hair, lots of freckles, and the way the light was falling on her almost gave her a halo. He's never forgotten that. But it was several years before they began to date, as was the term in those days. But once they got going, they didn't mess about. They had a very short engagement and married in 1955. By this time, Lorna was thought to be much too intelligent to be in the winding room and was promoted into the lab, eventually working out the recipes to match the colour that the customer wanted. Then the children arrived, Colin and Janet. To make life easier, Arnold and Lorna both learnt to drive in the same car with the same instructor. It doesn't surprise me in the least that they both passed their test first time. But perhaps more surprising was the fact that Lorna learned how to strip the carburettor on the roadside by herself. If water ever got into the petrol, she could solve the problem and carry on her journey. There was certainly much more to this lady than I first realised. Their son's baptism brought Arnold to faith. Lorna was already a Christian. And not being a Christian, Arnold wanted to know what faith was all about. I can only imagine all the questions he asked. And he gradually got more and more convinced and involved. So you could say that Lorna was an evangelist. She stood up for what she believed, and she wanted Arnold to share that faith. But he thinks his journey to faith began before they were married. Lorna invited Arnold to listen to Handel's Messiah. And in Wesley terms, Methodist terms, that was the first time he felt his heart strangely warmed. Faith was beginning. Arnold and Lorna were very much involved in the six Methodist churches that they belonged to, wherever they lived. Lorna starting a creche, she taught in the Sunday school, and she sold web ivory cards. Do you remember those? Apparently she made thousands for NCH, National Children's Home, as it was then known. When they arrived in Cheadle-Hume, she joined the badminton club and apparently was very good. She joined the dramatic society there, and apart from being a very good actress, she was renowned for the speed in which she learned her lines. And she joined a walking group. What did I say? There's more to Lorna than meets the eye. And then in 1978, they moved to Poynton. Soon Arnold was made redundant from the textile trade, and together, Arnold and Lorna took over Hockley Post Office, where Lorna sold the sweet side of the shop. But they decided that this was a short-term job, for Lorna, after her experience with Web Ivory, desperately wanted to run a card shop. After 3 years, presumably when they saved up enough to get the shop, none were available. And so they took over a nursery goods shop in Heal Green, where Lorna vastly expanded the card side of the enterprise, Lorna choosing each and every card herself. The shop was renamed Kids and Cards, and they retired from here in 1998. But their work for the Methodist Church here continued. Again, Lorna taught in the Sunday school. She helped Colin and Brenda Oakley with NCH. And she joined the Ladies' Fellowship, where over the years she had, I think, every single leading role. Ladies' Fellowship here celebrated their 45th birthday this May. And they were delighted when Arnold brought Lorna, who sadly is now suffering from vascular dementia. And I remember her gracious smile as she was given flowers as a thank you for all that she had done for them in the past. But before this, they had a long retirement together, enabling them to travel, visiting Australia, Canada, America, Alaska. They cruised the Rhine, the Nile, and the Rhone. But their favourite place was Madeira. They also enjoyed their family life, which was now growing to include two grandsons, Matthew and Ben, and now two great-grandchildren, Madeleine and Halle. And we're glad that they're with us here today. So this marriage was very much a partnership. As we all know, these last few years have been difficult as Lorna's dementia has increased. But we've all marveled at the way Arnold coped with this. The love that he poured onto her and the care he took of her. I just know that Lorna would want me to thank Arnold on her behalf for all the love and the care he has shown her. Rest in peace, Lorna. You are much loved. And so our third hymn that's been chosen, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, a song of confidence in Jesus and in God. I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. Be seated. We move into a time of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you that on this day of mourning we can still come with hope in our hearts and thanksgiving on our lips, for we know that what seems like the end with you is a new beginning. We praise you that in Jesus you experience not only our life, but our death, that you endured the agony of the cross and the finality of the tomb, yet you emerge victorious, triumphant over everything that would keep us from you, conquering death itself. And in this, we put our trust. So let us remember Lorna. Picture her in your mind's eye. Remember her voice. Thumb through the photographs in your memory. Think of the love she showered on us all, whether family or friend. remember the sunshine and the rain, the laughter and the tears, all that made her unique and special, all that will always keep her special for us. Father, we praise you that we can come today not to close a book, but to end a chapter. We know that for Lorna, the tribulations of this world are over. Death is past. And we pray that you will bring her into the joy of your perfect kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who mourn, especially for Arnold, for Colin and Janet, for her grandchildren Matthew and Ben, her great-grandchildren and her friends. We know that your son Jesus himself wept at the death of his friend Lazarus, and so you understand our feelings. May we all know your comfort at this time. May that love that Lorna knew for herself surround and bless us, protect and strengthen us to the end of this day and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep us always in the love of God, and the blessing of God the Creator, the compassion of Jesus, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit remain with us and with those we love, both the living and the dead, forevermore. Amen. We end in rather a different way with the Alleluia chorus. You will now understand why this was very special to Arnold and Lorna. But this is a version that is slightly different. Enjoy it. that's how to share your faith. Just as Lorna did with Arnold. How many years ago, Arnold? A long time. Please join us for lunch. For those of you who don't know the layout of the building, if you turn left, then right, then left again, you'll find the food. Please stay and share your own memories of this special lady. Thank you.